you are at any of the ages between 0 to 18 months, I would love to encourage you to go and to take part of that seminar, because this is really the bookends of both of our milestone maps. And so as far as this milestone map is, as I look through it and think about the opportunities that you guys have had, the opportunities that your parents have had, and what our church does to come alongside with our families, is that like we get to talk about big life events. So there's a lot of changes that happen in our kids from the time that they're born till 18, right? From the very beginning of just them starting to walk, them starting to read, them starting to learn, them starting to get into middle school. God bless those years, right? High school, even better. You know, I love all of that. But as I look through this, some of the favorite ones, I mean, they're all really great, but First Steps, I know, has been so great, because what it is a time for families to make a covenant with the church, saying we are going to intentionally invest and disciple our kids because we care about their faith. We want them to come to know Jesus Christ and to be equipped with the gospel before they head out to college. And as you do this, like there's missions experience, there's a family worship. I love, who's in here that's first grade through fifth grade? Raise your hand. Yeah, I see a few. Good. We love that you're in here. This is a great part of knowing how to worship. Bible workshops and kids camp and Truth Talk Weekend. I know that many of you have probably been able to take part of Truth Talk Weekend. It's one of the favorite things that's coming on. And I want to just say that we're actually in the next semester, we're going to do a Truth Talk Weekend 2.0 because of how successful that's been. And so we'll put that on your radar here in a little bit. But I look through all of these things, from next steps in sixth grade of just transitioning into middle school and going from the big dog to the little dog, right? And then you got student camp and D-Nows and defending the faith and passports, and then it leads us to the senior commissioning. Some of these big life events come with a lot of changes, not only physically and emotionally, but also very much spiritually. And so that's why I love a church that will come together, that supports one another, that partners with each other to help invest in your students. And so if this is the first time you've heard about this, I want to encourage you to be thinking and plan your time out to invest in these times, because this is a support for you and your student together. And so as I think about that, I think about the senior class and all that they've learned. All they've learned from school, what they've learned from parents, what they've learned from each of you that's invested in them. This is a time of excitement to think about, okay, all of this that we have learned, let's remember. And so the goal that we're going to be looking at today, we're actually going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 2 in the first 8 verses. But I want us to walk away with the idea of what we are remembering to entrust. This idea of remember what we have been entrusted with. Because when we remember what we've been entrusted with, we then get to be challenged and encouraged to do something with it. And so before we dive into our passage, I want to pray for us, and then we're going to dive into 2 Timothy chapter 2. So let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this morning and the time we just get to spend in your word. Lord, would you remind us of the truth that you have given us? God, would you encourage us to take this truth beyond ourselves and to pass this on? And God, would you open up the doors for us to do that? God, as we dive into 2 Timothy, Lord, would your words be clear? Lord, would we be able to be encouraged by it? And Lord, would it challenge us to go and to act out of love for what we have heard from you today? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to read the first 8 verses. It says here, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in the suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops." Verse 7. "Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel." When I think about this passage, at the very beginning, you see these first 4 words. It says that you then, my child. Now, before we dive into this, we got to remember, Paul is writing here to Timothy. This is the second letter that he's written to Timothy. And in the first chapter, what Paul has done is that he's reminded how grateful he is for Timothy. He's reminded Timothy of not only how grateful he is, but the time that he spent, but also how grateful he is for Timothy's mom and grandmother, both of which who entrusted this, what they call the deposit of the faith, to Timothy here. And so when I think about this idea of you then my child, like Paul was not Timothy's dad, but you see the relationship that's being built here, that's been established. And what they have done is they have passed on this faith, this understanding of the good news of Jesus Christ to Timothy. And they haven't just passed on an intellect or an understanding. What we see here by that relationship of my child, like we have walked together. You have seen your mom, you have seen your grandmother, not only tell and share the good news of who Jesus is, but also show you who Jesus is by how they loved one another, how they cared for others. And so this understanding, it's not just an intellectual, it's not just something that engages your mind and engages all parts of you. And so when I think about this, and I see this, you see Paul just going, I'm so excited, my child, this is what I'm encouraging you, because the whole first chapter was just remembering the great memories they've had together, how God has grown and challenged and encouraged Timothy, but also now he's taking, hey, you have been given this deposit of the gospel, and now what are you going to do with it? And so in the second verse, we see this idea of entrust, but before we get there, he says, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, when I think about this idea of being strengthened, what is being strengthened? Because what Timothy is going to be charged with is taking the very thing that has been given to him and not just sharing it verbally with others, but living it out on a day-to-day basis. And so when I think about what is actually being strengthened, I go back to the two greatest commandments that God has ever given us. And the first is that we should love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it, to love our neighbor as ourself. And so when I think about like what Paul is instructing Timothy here to be strengthened is that we need our heart, our soul, our mind, and our spirit to be strengthened in order to actually go and do what we have been entrusted to do. And so be strengthened by what? Because this is important. This isn't just being strengthened by what we can do. It's not just pull up your bootstraps and keep on going. Life is hard. Get going with it. No, it's being strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And when I think about this idea of grace that is in Christ Jesus, like the grace that saved us is the same grace that sustains us. And so when we think back to when we first came and professed Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that very grace is not just a one-time act. It's not just something that we receive and then we go, okay, where do we go from here? Because the reality of what I want to set up for us today to think about what we're going to be then thrusted into doing is that we're living in a state of extreme brokenness because of our sin. That's where we were. We were born into it. There's nothing we can do about it. And mankind, we love to be problem solvers. Who's my problem solvers in here? I'll raise your hand. There you go. I see a few of you. But we try and fix these problems. Well, if I just do this, then I can, you know, I'll fix this problem. Or if I do that, if I just work harder, if I just lean in. And the problem with our brokenness that comes from sin is that we can't pay or we can't bring ourselves out of it. But we have to be brought out of it. And the beautiful part of this that we get back to God's design is that God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross, to pay the penalty of our sins, to raise 3 days later. And by the way, we just celebrated that a couple weeks ago. One of the best Sundays in all of church is Easter Sunday, when we get to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, where darkness is no longer. Like the God has raised from the dead. We have eternity with him by putting our faith by grace, by the way, through faith in him. And so in this grace that is in Christ Jesus, it means that we have to personally know him and draw near to him. So when we think about grace being strengthened, we can't be strengthened by something that we're not close to. And so we should pursue God with all that we have. And by pursuing him and drawing near to him, he's going to give us the grace that's going to give us the power to strengthen us, in other words, right? To then do what he calls us to do in that next verse, which is to entrust. But it doesn't just happen on a Lone Ranger kind of idea. This isn't just a personal thing. Your salvation is very personal. It's between you and the Lord. But then God also calls us to be in community. And so we can help bear each other's burdens, a part of the church. And so communally and personally, we need to draw near to God. And so I want to encourage the senior class that when you go to college, you're going to be in a new place, a new area. You're going to have new friends. You're going to have a lot of different opportunities. But what God is calling you to is to be strengthened by his grace, not only personally by you drawing near to him, but communally by you drawing near to the church, his bride. That's an encouragement that we all need to remember and be reminded of. And so Paul is starting, he's saying, look, we need to be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Well, why is that? Well, it says here to go on, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And so as we see this, that we are to be what we have heard in the presence of many witnesses, we need to entrust. And so I think about this. God is more concerned about where we're heading and who we're heading with, like our faithfulness, the direction, than he is over perfection. Because if we can think about it, none of us are perfect, and we can't hit that bar. But God is more concerned with how faithful we are, and it's him who is perfect for us on our behalf. And so what we've heard in the presence of many witnesses, Timothy, I can't probably say how many messages has Timothy heard. If I think about these seniors, and I think about even everyone in this auditorium, is this worship center, is how many messages have we heard? We've heard God's word proclaimed over and over and over. Let's remember what has been said. Let's remember what his word has shown us. In the presence of many witnesses, we are to then entrust. I know I've kind of walked around this idea of entrusting, but this idea of entrusting is much more than just passing on information. This isn't just, okay, if you can just teach this, you're good. This idea of entrusting is that, yes, you should be able to teach this, but you should also be able to live it. And so the encouragement is that not just a mind kind of thing that we need grace in order to strengthen us in. We need all of it, right? Our heart, our soul, our mind, our spirit. Those are the things that we need to be strengthened. And we need to be strengthened by God's grace, which happens by drawing near to him. And so our direction of where we're heading is more important than our perfection. And I want you to remember that, because in college, you're going to be like, I want to be a 4.0 student. I want to be involved in all these other parts of college life. I want to be on this board or that board, and I want to do these internships. There's all these great things. But remember that, like, we're not calling you to perfection. We're calling you to faithfulness. And we're calling you to faithfulness, and the only way you can be faithful is not on your own strength, but by the grace of Christ Jesus. And so what we've heard in the presence of many witnesses, we need to entrust to faithful men. Faithful men, there are people that come in our lives that are faithful and those that come in our lives and go. What is this idea of faithful? Well, one of the big things that I think about when I think of faithfulness is someone who's available and committed. Well, it's someone who's available and committed. So those who you walk life with, those who come alongside you with, these are where your friends are truly made. And so faithful men who will also be able to teach others. This idea of being able to teach others, usually you don't hear one message and are able to go then from there to be able to teach it again. Usually you have to hear it a couple of different times, or you have to do your own research to be able to pass that on, right? And so this is someone who's not just coming in your life for one meeting and then departing. This is someone that you're walking together with. And this is something that we see not only through Paul and Timothy, but how Timothy's mom and grandmother walked with him too. And so this is a lifelong, this is a along the way through seasons of sharing the truth of Christ as they live it out as well. And it goes on here to say, this is where it begins to transition a little bit, that we need to share in the suffering of a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. The reality is I know that sometimes we think about faith. I remember when I was growing up, you know, faith was like, hey, we can do this great. Like, you can be eternally saved forever and be with Jesus forever. But I didn't hear when I was younger that, hey, that's going to also come with the cost of their suffering along the way. And not all suffering is bad. Sometimes we think about this idea of suffering being bad. But when I think about James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, God calls us actually to count it all joy when we face trials of various kinds, knowing that the testing of our faith will produce steadfastness. And if we let steadfastness have its full effect, it's going to make us perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. The reason I have that memorized is because I feel like I've lived some of that out. There's been trials and things that we've walked through as a family. And I know that there's people in here that have walked through things. Students, you're going to walk through suffering. Remember that God's calling you to faithfulness, which also is an idea of perseverance. And the reality is, for us to be changed, the reason that God makes us more perfect, complete, lacking in nothing is because we're under extreme pressure. We're under extreme fire. And so share in that suffering. Don't do it alone. That's also why we think we need to be a part of the church, connected. Like, this is not just something that we're lone rangers in. This is something that we're connected as a body in. To share in the suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. And then these next three verses, just to give you illustrations. And so they're going to talk about a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. And so you'll be able to think about which one you maybe connect to most, but let's walk through some of the things that we see as illustrations in these next verses. It says, no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. This is just a clear example of know who you have surrendered to. Remember who you've surrendered to. You haven't surrendered to a career. You haven't surrendered to another person. You have surrendered to the Lord of Lords. You have surrendered to God himself. And your devotion to him matters. Lean into that. And so this idea of soldier, like, he doesn't get confused or distracted by the things that happen around him because he's on mission. So let's be on mission. So he's saying the soldier doesn't get confused with the civilian pursuits because he remembers who enlisted him. But then the athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Like, we all know that, like, cheating doesn't get you far. And there's no way you can cheat yourself into heaven. There's no way you can do that. There's no way that, I mean, there's ideas here in the world. The world will tell you, like, hey, if you just do this, I mean, you can succeed. Like, you can achieve this goal. And you can be rich. You can have this. You can have this. But the reality of all of that, as you're thinking through it, is that this athlete, when you cheat your way around these things and you get these things, it's never satisfying. So remember, like, honor the Lord by not only knowing and trying to live your life through his word, but, like, receive the grace that you need to do that. And so this athlete, one of the things the world's going to promise you is the world's going to promise that you can just go and accomplish and do all of these great things. And there are great opportunities. There are great goals to have. I'm not trying to knock on that. But the thing about the world compared to what Christ promises is the world overpromises and underdelivers every time. But Christ, he calls you to being faithful, and there's a joy that you get to experience in him. And as he grows you, and as you lean on your whole life on him, there's going to be some amazing doors he's going to open for you. There's going to be some great things that he accomplishes through you. He's going to provide for you. He's going to protect you. I mean, just think about the Old Testament, all of the Old Testament. When God's people were in his, like, when his presence dwelled within the city, and when he raised up leaders, there was a protection, there was a provision. Even when they were leaving from Exodus from Egypt, like, there was still protection and provision all through them throughout all of their time. And so in this, there's no cheating. You can't cheat your way to being successful. You can't cheat your way to being faithful. And then lastly, this idea of farmer, maybe some of us don't think about farming as much because we don't do it, right? Or maybe some of us do. But the farmer, it's a hardworking farmer who ought to have first share of the crops. This idea of farming, like, you're having to plow the field, you're having to prepare the land, you're having to invest in the land, you're having to water, you're having to do so many things. And it takes months to see fruit from that, to see the crop then finally be produced. And so the farmer should have that first fruit there, but the first share of the crops. This idea is this delayed satisfaction, delayed gratification. There are going to be times where we're like, man, I'm not sure, God, what you're doing. This is really hard, but I'm just going to sit here. I'm going to still be active. I'm going to persevere, and I'm going to lean on you. And God, I don't maybe see the end of it, but I know that you're there. And this is where faith comes in. This is where faith, which is, by the way, the assurance of things hoped for, that, of course, Christ is going to return, but the convictions of things unseen. And so, as we dive in, it's all of these three examples, the soldier, the athlete, the farmer, each of these are giving us ideas about comparing to the world. The world is going to overpromise and underdeliver every time. Whenever you pursue the world, you'll never be satisfied because you're trying to fill a void that only the Lord can fill. And so the verse 7 and verse 8, we're going to kind of begin to start closing. It says to think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. We don't naturally come into this world with all knowledge and understanding of what this word says. But through God's grace, which is in Christ Jesus, and which he calls us to draw near to, we can have full understanding of what his word is instructing us to do. And so we've talked about a couple of things. We want to remember what we've been entrusted with, and that's the good news of Jesus Christ. We also remember that it is about our direction and not the perfection of our lives. Are we being faithful? Because God is the perfect one. Then we also have talked about that the world will overpromise and underdeliver. And in this last verse, verse 8, it says here to remember Christ Jesus. Remember Jesus Christ. He is risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. We need to remember who Jesus is. And I say that to say that some of us may get down the road a year, two, three, maybe it's after college, and you find yourself in a spot where you're like, I'm not really sure how I got here. I had goals and desires of being faithful and going and being a part of a local church or doing this. And there's all these goals that we may have. And I find myself going, man, I haven't been connected to a church in a while. I don't feel like I've connected to the Lord. I haven't drawn near to him in a long time. And what I want to say for you guys is this verse right here, when it says, remember Jesus Christ, there's always a place for you to return home to. You can always return to the church. His bride. God is going to, that same grace that he saved you with, the same grace he sustains you with, is the same grace he can redeem you with. It is God's grace that makes the miracles happen of life change. And so if you find yourself a few years down the road, or maybe it's even 6 months down the road, going, phew, man, this has been a hard semester, and I'm not really sure what's going on. I'm not sure where I need to go from here, or how I get back to being at peace and filled with joy. Remember that you can always return. You can return to a local church that's in your college. You can return here at Norris Ferry. You can return with your family, those who have invested you. You can reach out. Because like I said, we got to remember that God's grace that saved us, that sustains us, and his grace will redeem us. And he will call us back in. And so, as we finish up and wrap up here, we remember what he's done for us by rising from the grave, the offspring of David, his lineage, as preached in his gospel. What I want to challenge and encourage all of us today in thinking about is, what have we been entrusted with? We need to remind ourselves that we've been entrusted with the deposit of the gospel. And because we've been entrusted with this deposit, what are we going to do with it? What are we doing with it? And what I love is I see out here so many that are being faithful, that are serving, that are raising up this next generation of young, true followers of Christ who are going to become equipped to then go and to entrust that same deposit of the gospel that they've received into others. And so we always want us to think about that, especially as you go into these next few months. Remember what you have been entrusted with. You've had 18 years or 17 years of your life. Many of you have been here at this church from almost the time that you were born. Some of you haven't, but that's okay. Remember what has been passed on to you. Remember what you've heard in the presence of many witnesses. Remember that it is God's grace who gives us strength, not ourselves. As you go forth, as you live and experience what God has for you in the future. So with that, let me pray, and we'll conclude. Father, thank you for our time this morning, being able to look at 2 Timothy. The encouragement to remember what has been entrusted to us. Lord, would you remind our students here that are graduating, some today, some in the next coming weeks, the grace that is in you. God, would they not forget to draw near to you as they go from this place? God, would we all not forget what you have entrusted us? God, would today be a day of remembering what you have done, what you have given us. That is the grace through your Son. And God, would that challenge us and encourage us to act upon that, which is going to be shown in love. So Lord, would you remind us out of this week? And God, would you do a mighty work in our students, Lord, in their families, Lord, and in our church, for your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.